Hello, and welcome to our program, Prevention, brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Toni Morrell, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the January 2024 issue of Prevention Magazine here on OWL Radio. Prevention Magazine, January 2024. Test your immunity smarts. 1. How much of the immune system is housed in the gut? A. 70%, B. 80%, C. 100%. The best answer is 70%. A. When you think about the fact that about 70% of the immune system cells that call the gut home, it makes a lot of sense that food and nutrition take center stage in healing from an illness or preventing one another. All those immune cells rely on a healthy microbiome to be at their best. When you focus on getting enough fiber, probiotics, and prebiotics, you help keep your gut bugs balanced and your immune system chugging. A healthy gut also helps the body absorb immune-supporting nutrients from food. The rest of the immune system is spread out and includes the lymphatic system, the bone marrow, the skin, the spleen, and more. 2. Which of these really helps the immune system? A. Banana, rice, applesauce, toast diet, known as the BRAT diet. B. A big salad. C. Chicken soup. Mom was right. A bowl of chicken soup can serve as an immune system supporter. The secret is to make your own so you have control over sodium and other ingredients. It's ideal to build your base with bone broth, which is made by simmering animal bones, tendons, and ligaments for hours to release immune-supporting nutrients. It has more of this good stuff than regular broth or stock does, and you can find shelf-stable and frozen versions. Chicken introduces immunity stars like protein, zinc, and selenium. Veggies like carrots and leafy greens also provide nourishment. A big salad is nutritious, though, probably not what you're in the mood for when you're seeking comfort. And the BRAT diet can help with stomach bug symptoms, but doesn't impact immunity. 3. There are two main types of immune responses. What are they called? A. Offensive and defensive. B. Innate and adaptive. C. Strong and weak. D. Preventive and acute. The best answer is B. Innate and adaptive. Our innate and adaptive immune responses are each other's better halves, and they work together to keep us healthy. The innate immune response is the first line of defense against germs trying to enter the body. It detects foreign substances that may put us at risk for infection or sickness and destroys what it can while simultaneously alerting our adaptive immune response. The adaptive immune response produces specific antibodies that are best suited to attack a given invader. For example, a virus. Probiotics and vitamins A and D support both our innate and our adaptive immune responses. 4. You can become immune to certain viruses. True or false? Best answer is B. False. A virus such as the flu, the body produces antibodies that may help fight off a future infection. However, this isn't sickness-proof armor that will keep away illness altogether. Plus, since both Plus, since viruses are known for evolving constantly, it's smart to stay up to date on vaccinations and a healthy diet, even if you've previously been sick. 5. Should you exercise when you're under the weather? A. No way. Focus on resting. B. Yes. Stick to your usual fitness routine. The best answer is B. Stick to your usual fitness routine. If you're feeling up to it, you should strive to move your body even when you're sick. The reason has nothing to do with your weight or maintaining fitness levels. Research shows that exercise increases white blood cell count and helps mobilize these cells to fight what is ailing you. Don't overdo it, though. Engage in lower intensity activities like walking and reach for lighter weights. Move of the month. Fire up your glutes. Prevention Magazine, January 2024. Whether you want to build strength or tone or size up your glutes, this move can help. The banded clamshell activates the part of your glute that helps stabilize the hips. So strengthening it can improve overall mobility and reduce the risk of injury both during exercise and in the course of everyday life. 1. Lie on one side and loop a resistance band around both legs so it rests just above your knees. Bend your knees at a 90-degree angle, keeping them stacked. For a challenge, lift your hips as in a side plank. If not, just stay on your side. 2. Slowly lift the top knee as high as you can without shifting your hips backward. Let your leg muscles do the work, keeping your feet together and your core tight. 3. Slowly lower your knee back to starting position. That's one repetition. Do 10 to 15, then switch sides and repeat. Prevention Magazine, January 2024. Nutrition. Foods to fight bad breath. Tasty ways to refresh your mouth. By Alyssa Young. Nobody wants to be that person with the dragon breath that has everyone trying not to look uncomfortable. As embarrassing as it is, all of us deal with bad breath at some point. Luckily, just as certain foods may leave you with bad breath, others may naturally freshen things up. Here are some recipes. Savory yogurt parfait. Serves 4. In medium saucepan, bring 3/4 cup water to a boil. Stir in 1/3 cup bulgur, reduce heat, and simmer, covered until nearly tender. 8 to 10 minutes. Remove from heat, let sit, covered, about 3 minutes. Then fluff with fork. Meanwhile, in medium bowl, toss together 2 medium Granny Smith apples, about 7 ounces each, unpeeled and coarsely grated, and 2 small beets, about 3 ounces each, peeled and coarsely grated. 1 tablespoon honey, 1/2 teaspoon cumin seeds, toasted, and 1/4 teaspoon each, kosher salt and pepper. Then, toss with 1/4 cup roasted salted sunflower seeds, 1/3 cup fresh basil leaves chopped, and 1 tablespoon toasted sesame seeds. In 4 12-ounce jars, layer 1/4 cup apple beet mixture, 2 tablespoons cooked bulgur, and 1/2 cup Greek yogurt. Repeat layering process once more for each jar. Then divide any remaining apple beet mixture on top. Per serving, about 345 calories, which includes 14 grams of fat, which includes 4.5 grams of saturated fat, 22 milligrams cholesterol, 261 milligrams sodium, 36 grams carbohydrate, 6 grams fiber, 21.5 grams sugar, which includes 4.5 grams added sugar, and 20 grams of protein. Apples are a crunchy fruit and may freshen in a couple of ways. It contains plant compounds thought to help deodorize, and the slight abrasiveness as you munch spurs saliva production, which helps wash away bacteria. Basil. This herb has antimicrobial properties that may help fight bad breath, as well as polyphenols, antioxidants that can help a deodorizing effect. Bonus breath freshener. The yogurt in this recipe, which helps keep gut bacteria balanced, an overgrowth of bad gut bugs may lead to dragon breath. Lemon, ginger, and coconut gremolata over mango salad serves four. In large bowl, whisk together 1 tablespoon fresh lemon juice, 2 teaspoons each safflower oil and honey, and 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt. Add 3 Persian cucumbers, thinly sliced, 8 ounce daikon, peeled and thinly sliced into half moons, and 2 9-ounce champagne mangoes, peeled, pitted, and sliced 1/4 inch thick. Gently toss. Make gremolata. In medium bowl, toss together 1/2 cup toasted shredded unsweetened coconut, 1/4 cup mint leaves chopped, 1/2 serrano chili thinly sliced, 1 tablespoon finely chopped peeled fresh ginger, 1 tablespoon lemon zest, 1 1/2 tablespoons chopped chives, 1 teaspoon black mustard seeds, and 1/4 teaspoon salt. Serve mango salad topped with gremolata and sprinkle with additional mint leaves if desired. Per serving, about 175 calories, which includes 9 grams fat, which includes 5.5 grams saturated fat, 0 milligrams cholesterol, 254 milligrams sodium, 24 grams carbohydrates, 5 grams fiber, 18 grams of sugar, 3 grams added sugar, and 3 grams of protein. Lemon. The acidity of lemon stimulates saliva production, and lemons contain vitamin C, an antioxidant that can inhibit bacteria growth, Malone explains. Try sucking on a lemon wedge or taking a shot of lemon juice or a big gulp of lemon water. Swish with water after doing any of these things to protect your enamel. Fresher breath will be worth the pucker. Ginger. This flavor enhancer is known for having antibacterial properties, but that is true only when it's the right kind. Try ginger tea, fresh ginger, or unsweetened dried ginger. Sweetened ginger candies or chews will feed the bacteria you want to neutralize. Prevention Magazine, January 2024. Untangle the truth about hair. Choose what's true and what's false about your locks. 1. Heat protectant doesn't really help prevent damage from hot tools. True or false? False. Tools like hair dryers, flat irons, and curling wands damage hair over time as the high temperatures penetrate strands and destroy keratin. Thankfully, using a heat protectant will help prevent much of this damage by creating a barrier and sealing the hair cuticle. 2. Stress can cause hair loss. True or false? True. There are lots of causes of hair loss, and stress can certainly be a culprit. Telogen effluvium is a temporary condition often brought on by stress that causes the hair to move into a shedding phase faster, resulting in hair loss. Cutting your hair makes it grow faster. True or false? False. How often you trim your hair actually has little to do with its rate of growth. Hair grows from the follicles beneath the surface of the scalp, not from the ends. However, having your hair trimmed regularly will help you get rid of split ends, and that can make hair less prone to breakage and give you a better chance of retaining length and volume. Tea tree oil may help treat dandruff. True or false? True. Dandruff is often caused by a yeast called Malassezia and can be treated with antifungal ingredients found in dandruff shampoos and prescription medications. Tea tree oil can be used as a natural alternative to these products, as it has antifungal and anti-inflammatory properties. Simply add a few drops to your shampoo or to a carrier oil like castor oil and massage into your scalp before washing out. Prevention Magazine, January 2024. In focus, inflammation. It's a hot topic for good reason. Your body's amazing ability to heal itself can go haywire, sparking health troubles from small to large. However, you can get this under control. Here's everything you need to know. By Marissa Cohen. What is inflammation? Inflammation is a word you hear everywhere. There are foods and gummies and supplements that claim to fight it, and you could fill an entire wall with books on the subject. However, we'll admit that it can still be very hard to figure out what the word actually means. Inflammation is actually helpful and necessary, at least in its acute or temporary phase. Without this biological defense system, we wouldn't be able to heal from injuries or fight off infections, says Erica L. Johnson, Ph.D., an associate professor of microbiology, biochemistry, and immunology at Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta. Most of the time this is good, and it helps the body recover, Johnson explains. Let's say, for example, that you accidentally cut your hand while slicing a bagel. First, your body releases chemicals that act as a kind of red alert. White blood cells respond to this warning and flood the area of your body that needs help. This can cause pain, swelling, redness, and warmth, all conditions you can see or feel and ones that help your body heal and return to homeostasis or a state of balance. When you're fighting off a bacterial infection or an allergen, this protective process happens inside cells where you can't see it. An anti-inflammatory response activates your immune system to fight the infection. And that's how you get better, says Sadia Khan, MD, Megrestit Professor of Cardiovascular Epidemiology at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago. After white blood cells neutralize the problem, acute inflammation starts to go away, usually within a few days. Soon enough, your wound heals, your fever breaks, and you feel better. But sometimes the body doesn't quite know when to stop, and that's when inflammation goes from helpful to harmful. when inflammation becomes chronic. Unlike acute inflammation, which ends when the immune system's job is done, chronic inflammation keeps the system on high alert, even when there is no imminent danger. For example, in an autoimmune disorder like type 1 diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis, the body turns on its own tissues by mistake, seeing them as foreign invaders. The tissues are then constantly inflamed, which can cause pain, rash, tissue damage, and other symptoms. Another instance in which chronic inflammation turns potentially deadly: inflammatory cells in your arteries can cause plaque to build and develop, which could lead to a stroke. How? The body views the plaque as a foreign substance and initiates even more inflammation to fight it. And this causes the plaque to thicken further. Over time, chronic inflammation can damage healthy cells and lead to permanent DNA damage. In fact, 5 of the 10 leading causes of death in the United States of America have been linked to chronic inflammation in one way or another, making inflammation a significant risk to holistic health in the long run. Issues that can be linked to chronic inflammation include Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia, various types of cancer, anxiety and depression, high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes, allergies and asthma, acne, eczema, psoriasis, and arthritis. How do you fight inflammation? Thankfully, we are learning more and more each day about how to prevent and control chronic inflammation. It starts with maintaining a healthy lifestyle and may also include medications targeted at treating chronic diseases. These things will help you get back to having inflammation be your body's superhero instead of its villain. Signs of inflammation. The symptoms of chronic inflammation overlap with those of many other conditions, so it can be a little tricky to pinpoint what's going on. Several blood tests can check for signs of inflammation, including one that detects a rise in the levels of C-reactive protein, known as CRP, in the liver. The problem is these tests can't distinguish between acute and chronic inflammation. You're not trying to identify inflammation as much as look at why it's there, says Dr. Khan. Routine screenings, specifically your annual physical, are the way to do that. The signs of acute inflammation: swelling, redness, heat, pain or tenderness, and loss of function will go away as soon as the injury is healed or the infection is cleared. However, signs of chronic inflammation can linger for months or even years. These include fatigue, chest pain, achy muscles and joints, skin rash, GI problems such as constipation and diarrhea, headaches, and weight gain. The Autoimmune Connection by Merrill Davids Landau. An illness is classified as autoimmune when cells and other immune system components, instead of saving their firepower for invading bacteria or viruses, attack parts of the body, leading to symptoms. And because there are more than 80 autoimmune conditions, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, celiac disease, and multiple sclerosis are a few, many body parts can be affected, depending on which disease someone has and how their immune system is misfiring. All these disparate conditions have one thing in common: inflammation. In general, autoimmune diseases manifest and cause symptoms and problems in various organs because of the inflammation that's associated with them, says Zachary Wallace, MD, a rheumatologist who is a specialist in autoimmune and inflammatory conditions at Boston's General Hospital in Boston. At Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. So while not all inflammation involves an autoimmune illness generally involves inflammation. With some autoimmune conditions, inflammation happens right at the start, setting the stage for later problems. For example, in type 1 diabetes, inflammation destroys beta cells in the pancreas, which keeps them from making the insulin needed to store sugar from carbohydrates. Sjögren's syndrome begins when inflammation damages exocrine glands, those that make tears and saliva, leading to severe dryness in eyes and mouth. In other autoimmune illnesses, ongoing inflammation is a hallmark symptom. Rheumatoid arthritis, also known as RA, is marked by hot, inflamed joints, while inflammation in the digestive tract in someone with ulcerative colitis may cause significant abdominal pain and bloody diarrhea. With multiple sclerosis, inflammation settles in the central nervous system after immune cells attack the coating on nerves. Lupus can cause inflammation in the heart, brain, kidney, and other organs. By definition, autoimmune is a problem with inflammation, says Michael Kaplan, MD, a rheumatologist at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. What causes autoimmune disorders? Researchers are trying to figure this out, but so far, they aren't completely sure. When the immune system acts as it should and viruses, bacteria, or other substances make their way in, say, through the skin, mouth, or lungs, the immune system prompts cells to make antibodies targeting the invaders. The immune system is supposed to inspect the cells it makes, with any that don't behave properly being isolated and destroyed. But in some people, that demolition fails to happen, and those problematic antibodies attack healthy body parts instead, leading to autoimmune disease and inflammation, Dr. Wallace says. Genetic predisposition may partly explain many autoimmune problems, but it is not the whole picture. Not everyone with the same gene ultimately gets a disease. Once someone is genetically susceptible, it may take an environmental exposure to trigger a condition. That may be smoking, a prime risk factor for rheumatoid arthritis, chemical toxins, or a viral infection. Researchers are watching closely to see whether COVID causes some autoimmune diseases. Since the majority of autoimmune patients are female, hormones and sex-specific factors likely also play a role in some conditions. Putting out the fire. Doctors hope treatments that actually reset the immune system, curing the illness, might one day become available. For now, though, therapies for autoimmune conditions primarily serve to tamp down inflammation. Listeners, I will pick up the rest of this in the next recording of Prevention, since our 30 minutes is just about up. Thank you for listening. This program, you've been listening to Prevention on Al Radio. You can listen to Al Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.alradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Tony Morrell saying goodbye from Al Radio.